Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.' You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions." But he continued, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is korban, that is, devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. Thus, you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And you do many things like that." Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they
Sorry,
wash.
The last and they part observe of the text many other was cut off.
Such as washing
so
of
I'll
cups.
Read it to you from Mark 7. From there, Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know where he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. For a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him. She came. She bowed at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile. A woman from Syrophoenicia. But she begged him to cast out the demon out of her daughter. And he said, let the little children be fed first. It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the crumbs that the children leave." And then he said to her, "Oh, for saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Let's pray, and I'm going to use the words from a Jars of Clay song for our prayer. Oh Lord, I am the only one to blame for this. And you know, somehow it always ends up the same. I'm soaring on the wings of selfish pride and fly too high. And like Icarus, I collide. I collide with the world I tried to leave behind to rid myself of all but love, to be willing to give and die Help me to turn away and not become another nail to pierce the skin of one who loves more deeply than the ocean, more abundant than the tears of a world embracing every heartache. Oh God, can I be the one to sacrifice? Or will I grip this spear and watch the blood and water flow? I want to love you, so take my world apart. Oh, I need you, so I am on my knees. I love you. Please take my world apart, because I need you. I am on my knees. Oh, Father, all said and done, I stand alone amongst the remains of a life I should not own. And it takes all I am just to believe in your mercy that covers me. Jesus, did you really have to die for me? All I am for all you are. Because what I need and what I believe are worlds apart. So I pray. And I'm on my knees. I look beyond the empty cross, forgetting what my life has cost. And I wipe away the crimson stains and dull the nails that still remains. Oh God, more and more I need you now. I owe you more each passing hour, battled between my pride and your grace. I thought I gave up so long ago. So steal my heart and take my pain. Wash my feet and cleanse my pride. Take the selfish, take the weak. And all the things I cannot hide. And take the beauty and take my tears. The sin-soaked heart and make it yours. Take my world apart. Take it now. So I will serve the ones I despise and speak the words I can't deny. And watch the world I used to love fall to dust and be thrown away. So I look beyond the empty cross, not forgetting what my life has cost. And I wipe away the crimson stains and dull the nails that still remain. So steal my heart, take my pain. Take the selfish, take the weak. All the things of me I cannot hide. Take the beauty. Take my tears. Take my world apart and make me yours. In Jesus' name, amen. We come in our journey in Mark to a place that is holy but hard. Jesus has done powerful, good things of deliverance in these first six chapters. They're glorious, miraculous, astounding, tender, powerful. But now he gets down to the nitty-gritty. And he begins to talk about real stuff that we cling to, that are worlds apart from him. When we look at the Gospel of Mark in chapter 7, we meet a collection of characters. You know some of them. They're the religious leaders. You know, we can all boo and hiss about religious leaders, except they are us. In the story of the Gospel, they're often us. We don't like to admit it. We like to say, you can hear the devil hiss in Pharisees, right? And Sadducees. But they can be us if we're not careful. And so, what Jesus comes in the first part of Mark 7 and says is, so much of your religion, it goes in the ditch. It goes in the ditch when you focus on forms, when you focus on your practices of your religion, and you forget the faithfulness that you're called to have to the character and compassion of God. So these religious leaders, they remind us of who we can be on our worst days. And they remind us that we must not fixate on our practices or our forms. When we talk about Jesus, we don't lead with how our church is different than other people's church. We talk about a Savior who is different than anything or anyone that has ever been on earth. Only He can save. And He calls us with our hearts to pursue God and the heart of God that's revealed in Jesus. As we talked about in Bible class this morning, when you see Jesus, you see God. You want to know what God thinks. Look at what Jesus says. You want to know what God wants. You look at what Jesus does. You want to know how to treat people. You look at how Jesus treated people. You see, Jesus wants us to know that forms can't make our hearts right. Our actions must flow from a heart that aches, that longs to be like Jesus, to be like God. And so Jesus calls out a harsh rebuke. Look at Mark 7, 6 and 8, okay? I know my Bible's up there, but I got this one right here. So I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles there. And while you're doing that, I'm going to ask you a simple question. Several people have asked that I put my outline online so that it can be filled in on the phone. Any of you guys interested in that? Digitally be able to do that? Okay. Got five or six. That's enough. If you'll do it, I'll start working on that. In 2 weeks, I'll have that. Jesus just rakes them over the coals, and he quotes from Isaiah. Well, did Isaiah say for you that you ignore the things of God and teach the doctrines of men? You see, the Pharisees and Sadducees were a lot like we were 30 or 40 years ago. Okay? I love my heritage in the restoration movement. But if we're honest, we created a bunch of rules because we didn't want to get close to sin. The goal was good, to stay far away from sin, but we created all these rules. Some of you know those. Don't dance because you'll get pregnant. If you don't understand that one, ask your parents or grandparents. Don't play cards, but it's okay to play dominoes. Even though Jesus turned water into the best wine at the wedding, it wasn't alcoholic. Okay? Now, hear me. Hear me. Sex outside of marriage between a husband and a wife is against the will of God. It's called sexual immorality or fornication or a whole lot of other things. And we don't want to go there. Right? And drunkenness, we don't want to go there. And we don't want to waste the money God's entrusted us foolishly. But see, there's a difference between the form that we create and it becomes our law and the heart that seeks to honor Jesus. And Mark emphasizes in Jesus' words this. You notice Jesus didn't criticize them for obeying the law, right? In fact, he comes back and he points to the law. He says, here's an example of how you set aside the law of God and you create your own traditions. Now, I could ask you how many who walked in the door if you knew what Corban was. But Corban was a way that the Jews had come up with to keep from honor your father and mother, and anyone who speaks evil of their father and mother should be put to death. Okay, that's a pretty starchy command, okay? But it's in the Ten Commandments. And Jesus says, what you did is you basically said, okay, I'm going to give all this money when I die to God. This is literally the practice of Corban. I'm going to give all this money to God when I die, so you can't make me take care of my parents with this money. Now, I can spend it for Hanukkah. I can buy me a house with it, but it's going to go back to God when I die, so I can't take care of my parents with that money. In other words, it's a trust to be selfish and job your parents, right? And that's one example. And he says, you do many such things as this. Because they were upset because he didn't wash his hands before he ate his meal. Or at least his disciples didn't. I'm sure Mary taught him better than that, right? We got to have a little humor in here. And it's a powerful statement. Because our good practices flow out of our heart. And what we eat doesn't make us righteous or unrighteous. Because it goes in our gut and into the sewer. But what comes out of our mouth, what comes out of our behaviors, what comes out in our attitudes, well, that reveals what's in our heart. But Mark is not satisfied to just leave Jesus there. And so Mark takes us to an episode that's totally in a different context. Jesus is down here near Capernaum, okay, near the Sea of Galilee. Now, let's see if I can figure out which one of these does this. Whoops, that was the wrong one. There we go. All right, now, this is where most of Jesus' ministry took place. Occasionally went to Decapolis. There's Gentiles there. Galilee was Galilee of the Gentiles, but there were good Jews there. Samaria is here. Jerusalem way down here off the map, okay? Jesus, in this story, is way up here in Tyre. He's amongst the non-Jews because he's trying to get away. And he got as far away as he could get. Okay? Now, I will tell you the truth. As a preacher, I never could escape church folks. And believe it or not, I love church folks, but sometimes you just got to wash the brethren off of you, okay? Get in a plane, go take a shower, and be in a... And we have never been anywhere in the world that we didn't bump into church folks. So I quit trying to figure out how I could piddle around and have a lot of fun that was maybe not stuff I wanted to do in church folks' presence, but maybe not right. I just decided I got to be good all the time. But just like you, I have my moments. That's why that words of that song are so powerful. Because sometimes when I'm really good, I take credit for it. And then I'm really bad, right? So this second episode is in Gentile territory, and you have to understand it. And so he's trying to get away. He's trying to be alone. He's trying to have some peace and quiet with his disciples. And he's in a house, and he's all by himself, and this desperate woman comes to him. And she is desperate. But by every form, she doesn't fit expectations. She was a woman in a world, and in this context, a world of religious men. You do realize that Pharisees prayed every single day, God, I'm thankful that I was not born a slave, a Gentile, a Samaritan, or a woman. It's okay to boo that statement if you're a woman, okay? That's why Paul says in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, bond or free. Because he says, we're doing away with that sexist stuff. But this is before that happens. And she doesn't fit. Jesus' ministry is to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's off on a retreat, and she shows up at the house. And on top of everything else, she's a Gentile. Not Jewish. And yet, when you look at these two stories, by form, she may not fit expectations, but she's the one who walks away with salvation from the hands of the Messiah. And it makes it such a sweet story because we love her for loving her baby, don't we? Don't you just love her for risking all that? And then there's that interplay. And I'm going to tell you something, and I don't like to pull the Greek card very often. I promise you, I don't like to pull the Greek card very often. But I still remember the first time I read this passage in Greek, and my Greek teacher pitched a wall-eyed hissy fit. Do y'all have wall-eyed hissy fits in Indiana? Okay. And so, Jesus asked this question, is it right to give the children's bread, and what does your translation say, to the dogs? And that's exactly what she would have expected from a Jew, the word dog. But every other time, I looked this up last night or early this morning, I'm not quite sure because my watch had run out of juice. And I had left my backpack in the hall of the church building, and I locked myself out and I couldn't get it. And my charger was in it. So it was sometime not too long ago. And I went through and looked at every occurrence of dog in the Greek, and it's cur dog. Every single one except the two here. It doesn't say dog. It says canarios. Canarios, little dog, puppy. And what Jesus does is he takes a slur that a Jew would give a Gentile. I'm not going to give my good stuff to the dogs. You remember Jesus says, don't give the dogs what is holy. That was a statement often reserved for Gentiles. He doesn't say that. He softens it to see how she'll respond. Yeah, but the children need to be fed first before the puppies. And she responds so sweetly and powerfully. Oh, but even the puppy dogs under the table get the crumbs that fall from the children's table. Isn't that a sweet thing to say? When you know what the words are, when you know that interplay. And yes, I know you parents have tried to teach your kids not to feed the dog under the table. But where do you think they learned it from? Because we all sneak a little. Especially if it's a puppy, can't we? Yeah, you'll slide a little under there. A little bacon. Right? A little bacon. It's just a little piece of meat. A little of that fat. Just don't tell mama. Okay? And that's what she's saying. In the heart of all of us, puppies are really not outside the family. They may just not be sitting at the table. And Jesus knows that not only is she motivated by her desperate love to save her daughter, but she shows both incredible humility. I don't know about you, but I have a deep sin problem. That's part of the reason that song is my confession. I want to be treated fairly. All right? When we flew into LAX and it took us 3.5 hours to go through customs and then have to recheck to go one terminal away, my wife looked at me and said, I don't think you've ever been that mad in your life. And she was right. We were treated like dirt, and four planes that came in after us got to go in front of us. That's just not righteous. Okay? I spent 2.5 hours on the phone with Samsung about this stinking refrigerator we paid so much money for 4 years ago, and we're on our fourth time to have them repair it. And I just wore them out. I was like that widow that went to the judge that Jesus talks about, and she just wore him out. I wore him out, and finally they sent me to corporate, and they're going to fix it for free this time. I don't like to be treated unfairly, and I'm afraid I would have bristled at Jesus. I think I would have missed puppy and her dog. How about you? But everything about this service today has been orchestrated, what we've sung, what we've read, the scriptures we've read, to remind us of who Jesus is and what he did to redeem us. How do you be arrogant in the face of God taking nails? The Holy One of Heaven, naked before a crowd that mocks him and spits on him and abuses him. And he did it for us. And how do you not feel anguish for the stupid sins you commit when he's paid that to make you holy? And so Mark just says, hey dudes and dudettes, look at her. Look at her. Because she's not worried about form or formulas. She wants grace. And she's listening for a lifeline to give it to her. And I think that's what I want for me and my house and for our house at Southeastern. It's not pews packed with people, but hearts that are humble and looking for a lifeline of grace, and they get to find it in Jesus. And that's what I want for each of us today. You see, without having to say a word, Jesus and Mark points us to this woman and her heart. And he's saying, and Mark's saying, have a heart like hers. Be like hers. And we have an old song. Some of you may not have even heard this song, because I heard you hadn't sung it here in a long time. But you know, back a long time ago, this used to be one of those invitation songs that was a heart tingler that we used to sing along with, Just As I Am. Okay, you remember those days? Yes. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Isn't that what that woman did? Even the puppies get the children's crumbs that fall to the floor under the table. And I'll take the crumbs. Won't you? I'll take the crumbs from the master's table. Because those crumbs, every single one of them, is filled with grace. The point of all of this today is it's about our heart. What is our heart about? Is it about living up to forms and expectations, or is it seeking after God and his grace? And it reminds us of that little saying in Proverbs 4:23, guard your hearts, because everything in our lives flow from our hearts. But how do we guard our hearts? Well, last week when we had our prayer chain, Alicia Koglaser passed the baton to me, or I passed it to her. Did I pass it to you? Or yeah. And I sent her a prayer, and she sent me back a quote from Philippians 4. Philippians 4 is this book of joy, and it lists all these things. Rejoice always. Let your kindness be evident to all. Do good to others. Pray and give your prayer request to God, but always do it with thanksgiving. And what you've seen or heard in me, the Apostle Paul, and well, you put that into practice. And he said, guess what happens when you do that? When you seek to have a heart like Jesus, The peace of God which transcends all understanding, that peace will guard your heart and mine in Christ Jesus. So, Joey, I'm going to go ahead and let you get up there and get ready to lead us in a song, and we're going to sing Into My Heart. And the main thing that's on the heart of David and Joey and your elders and me today is we want you to know that Jesus is dying for you. That payment has been made. The body of Jesus has been nailed to the cross. The blood has been shed, and he loves you. And he's risen from the grave, and he longs to empower you, not to live up to forms, but to have a heart like his. And he wants to give it to you. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus says to a group of Christians, it's not said to unbelievers. When people use this as an altar call for unbelievers, it's a wrong application. It's written to Christians, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone will open to me, I will come in and eat with them and be with them." And this morning, I'm hoping that if you are not confident when you leave here today, that you stand in the grace of God, that you'll remember that woman who said, "Oh Lord, even the puppies get the children's crumbs at the family table." And you'll come and realize he wants to give you a lot more than a crumb. He wants to give you a fresh new heart. Let's sing.